Christine asked me if nutritional yeast is a replacement for vegan cheese. Sandy wants to know if nutritional yeast is a good way to increase her protein. I bet you have some questions about it too. Is it okay to use nutritional yeast after your weight loss surgery? And what medical issues might not be a good mix with this yeast? Stay right where you are. Gail, Isabel, and I have the answers about nutritional yeast, also known as Nooch.
Looking for an easy-to-swallow multivitamin that also smells good instead of vitamin-y? Check out the once-a-day easy-to-swallow tablet from ProCare Health with new scent certs. The orange scent inside the bottle makes supplements not only smell better, but taste better, too. It's a whole new way to experience your once daily vitamin. Visit ProCareNow.com and use code Susan10 to save 10%.
Hi, I'm registered dietitian nutritionist Dr. Susan Mitchell, ex-radio dietitian turned podcaster. You're listening to the Bariatric Surgery Success Podcast, episode number 160. Do you feel frustrated? Frustrated with all the confusion, the misinformation online when it comes to nutrition, especially bariatric nutrition? Eat this food. No, don't eat that food. Maybe try the keto diet or just reset your pouch. It's enough to make you throw your hands up, right? And say, I don't know what to do. I give up. Well, I do. I know what to do. It matters where you get your nutrition information. When it comes to your bariatric surgery, nutrition is specific. So let's cut through the nonsense. Let's get the accurate nutrition information you want right now. Simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies that work. I want you to feel well every day. Get out there, do the things you want to do. I created the Bariatric Surgery Success Podcast for you. You're in the right place, and I'm really happy that you're listening. If you love the podcast, would you please write a review on Apple Podcasts for me? I would appreciate it so much. I want to give a shout out today to Phase Girl, who gave the Bariatric Surgery Success Podcast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. She said, "This podcast was just what I needed to hear. It was confirmation for the things I've been mulling over in my heart and mind, and I'm inspired and will immerse myself in the bariatric lifestyle. I'm not going to let this tool go to waste. I'm willing and I'm ready. 2024, here I come." Thank you, Phase Girl. We're with you this year and can't wait to hear about your successes. Thank you for the kind comments, too. Listeners like you are why I love my work. Are you tired of cravings and night eating? Want to prevent weight regain? Then be sure and add protein sources you actually eat and enjoy. Check out my freebie for 10 protein tips that work daily. I'll put the link in the show notes. Plus, you can find the freebie on my homepage, breakingdownnutrition.com. Joining me today are your favorite expert bariatric dietitians, Isabel and Gail. These two stay up to date and they know what's going on. Isabel Maples is a bariatric coordinator at UVA Health in Haymarket, Virginia. Gail Smith is a bariatric dietitian at the Weight Loss and Bariatric Surgery Institute here in Orlando, Florida. You can find both Isabel's and Gail's contact information if you want to reach out to them. Just check out the show notes. Hey, Isabel. Hey, Gail. Always glad to have you here.
Hi.
Always happy to be here.
Well, same, you know, here.
If you Google the words nutritional yeast, you will find more information than you ever wanted. Some of the information, correct, as we know, a lot of it, total nonsense. So let's get right to it. Is nutritional yeast beneficial? Is it bariatric friendly? Or are there certain health issues that don't mix well with this yeast? Gail, nutritional yeast, so popular. Start us out with what nutritional yeast is all about.
Well, nutritional yeast is a kind of cheesy tasting cousin to brewer's yeast and baker's yeast. It's the same strain of yeast used in brewing beer and baking bread called Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
Can you spell that for us?
I know. It's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Oh, for sure. And it's deactivated in the final product. This means that the actual yeast has to be first dried and heated to kill it to be safe for both us humans and animal nutrition in accordance to our guidelines with the current food and nutrition safety directives, right?
Right.
So it's fortified and unfortified nutritional yeast products differ in a number of ways through their manufacturing process. So the amount and type of vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients that can be added is different. And it depends on the type of fungus from which the yeast was derived from, though the most common one is the one I can't pronounce correctly. So it is really important to read that label carefully to find which nutritional yeast product is best for you, as we're going to talk more about it today with Isabel and Susan.
In a few minutes, we'll talk more about what does fortified mean, because I know we've said that term, a fortified product, and like a lot of people might be going, what the heck is that? So we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, you can't miss this story. This is just a great story.
This was really, really funny. And it is great because I was at the barn the other day where I keep my animal, and Kathleen, the barn owner where I keep, her name is Jenny, my horse. And she was asking the vet who happened to be there on Friday to give vaccines and stuff to our animals once a year, twice a year when she comes out. And she wanted to know from Dr. Ariel what she could start using for her horse that had loose stools. She had already tried probiotics and that wasn't working. It worked a little bit and then it didn't work as well. And guess what the equine vet, that means horse vet, said?
Well, she said, trying to know because it's got to have something to do with
what we're talking about. She said, try some yeast granules, flakes, or powder, which we're going to talk about today. And she goes, especially the Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which the research indicates in horses works best. And that's the same form of yeast we're going to talk about today. However, she did. Yeah, it's crazy. And she also said every horse is different. Get this, depending on the hay that you give them.
Really?
Sometimes this makes a difference, or like what the foods you eat, you know?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Just like your body is unique. Yeah.
That's such a great story because it reminds each of us, as we talk about every time, that our body is different from someone else and that we can't compare. And as you heard me call nutritional yeast at the start, a common name to it is nooch. So if you hear people talking about, hey, have you tried nooch? They're talking about nutritional yeast. And it's very common to use that. It's cultivated, fortified, which we'll talk about, harvested, washed, and dried under monitored conditions, has to be to meet the guidelines, as Gail was saying. But it is a natural product because it can be seen on the layers of the skin of dark fruit, for example, like a plum.
Well, nutritional yeast will offer both flavor and nutrition, especially important for somebody who's like skipping certain foods because of special diets or food sensitivity or maybe personal choice. It doesn't have any sugar in it. It doesn't contain soy or gluten, which are both, you know, potentially allergens or sensitivities. If you're on a low cholesterol diet or if you're on a vegan diet, nutritional yeast can add that real cheesy, buttery flavor that Gail was talking about. Most people love that flavor. And it can offer that, plus it can offer protein, vitamins, and minerals.
Yeah, I think, you know, many people are probably going, okay, wait a minute, nutritional yeast. Okay, I hear you saying what it tastes like, but what does it taste like? Well, many people love the taste. As Isabel mentioned, they'll say that it has a buttery taste or a cheesy taste, especially like a Parmesan cheese. But I've also have others tell me, and these are, of course, the ones who aren't fans of it, that it smells like stinky socks or feet. So, okay.
Kind of like an aged cheese does.
Yeah, kind of like an aged
cheese. People talk about aged cheese like that.
Yeah, certain cheeses.
Kind of like an aged cheese, right? So obviously not a fan. So I say that to say that I think that nutritional yeast is a personal, you either like it or you don't like it, and it doesn't matter. Either way, it works, right?
Yeah. It is definitely popular in vegan cooking, right? Due to that Parmesan cheesy kind of like flavor. But I would describe the overall taste more as savory or umami. It's like our fifth taste, right? The sweet, sour, what are they? Sweet, sour, bitter.
Bitter. Salty.
Salty. And then umami.
Umami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it goes beyond cheesy, making it more, I would say, versatile in, as a culinary seasoning. You can find nutritional yeast, as we were saying earlier, as a powder, as flakes, or as granules. And actually, for the horses, it would be the granules, okay? They mix it in with their feed.
Oh,
but most grocery stores...
Okay. So again, yeah. How you mix it with what kind of food, which we'll talk about coming up.
Exactly.
Ours might be lasagna versus horse feed, but same idea, right?
Exactly. And I tell you, those horses are a little picky about it. So I'll be interested to see if Kathleen's horse will even eat it. But I bet he will.
Yeah, and if he doesn't think it smells like stinky hoofs. Whichever would be the correct situation there. Anyway.
Yeah. And you know, you could find this nutritional yeast probably at most grocery stores now, maybe in their health food section, or, you know, the health food oriented stores like Whole Foods or whatever ones you like. Fresh Market is near me. But there are recipes that do call for it, and you can add it actually to your current meal. In fact, Christine asked me if nutritional yeast is a replacement for vegan cheese. Christine, absolutely. If you like it cheesy, nutty, a cheesy, more nutty flavor, nutritional yeast can be added to any of your meals or as a topping, like on your soups and in your snacks. It also can give you even a little extra protein, and you'll find out in a minute, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. If, of course, you don't have medical issues, as Susan was mentioning earlier, you might have to make sure and check with your primary care provider.
Yeah, we're going to get together, though, so make sure you hang around the whole time, because in a few minutes we'll talk about there are a number of specific medical issues that don't mix well with yeast. So we'll be talking about that in a minute. But right, Isabel, but I know you have some other things, too, that you want to share from the nutrition angle first.
Yeah. So a 2 tablespoon of nutritional yeast is considered a standard portion size, and that's going to give you 8 grams of protein. 8 grams of protein is what you would get around what you would get in an ounce of meat or one glass milk that's 8 ounces or maybe a jumbo egg. So a pretty significant amount for that. Mm-hmm. It has about 50 calories and just 1 gram of fat. It also contains 5 grams of carbohydrate, and 4 of those 5 grams are fiber, which doesn't get digested and doesn't add any calories, plus the extra benefits of fiber. It has no added sugar or no sugar at all in the nutritional yeast as well. It has some vitamins and minerals, particularly some B vitamins, thiamin, riboflavin, pyridoxine, some B1, B2, B6. It contains some minerals like potassium, which is really important for blood pressure control, zinc, which is associated with our immune system, and several other nutrients that we need in smaller amounts, minerals like iron, manganese, molybdenum, chromium, which is important for managing blood sugar and blood cholesterol levels.
And I want to hop in just here for just 1 second, because I just want to make clear that in the nutritional yeast, it's really going to vary product to product. So you got to know that today, most varieties sold are what's called fortified. So fortified means that something has been added to it. It didn't exist in that product originally. So when you see nutritional yeast fortified with, you have to look and see, because usually it's some of these vitamins and minerals that Isabel just listed that weren't in that yeast to begin with. So that's where you have to look at the label and compare the products that you're thinking about buying to see, to make sure that what you think you're buying, you're actually getting. So look at those labels fairly closely. And yes, that protein intake, 8 grams is good, but remember that this is a plant-based
protein. So it will not be the same high quality as an animal-based protein of meat or egg. So even though it's protein, the quality is not the same high quality as if you had an animal.
Not used as well. Correct.
Good.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Gail, I know too that you're more familiar with what's going on with the yeast, the zinc that's in nutritional yeast.
Yes. As Isabel said too, that nutritional yeast does contain zinc, and that is a mineral that aids in muscle repair and regeneration after workouts, especially that soleus muscle, which lies underneath the gastrocnemius muscle, the main, you know, calf muscle that we refer to all the time, which is used in very active sports, but it could be used just for everyday walking. Now that does attach to the Achilles tendon, which we all need to make sure is in good working order, because you won't be able to walk without that Achilles tendon. And that is definitely used in active sports such as long distance runners and explosive activities like when someone's bouncing around a basketball on the court.
Yeah, so nice to have that in there for a little recovery, right?
Recovery is important, yeah.
You know, I want to mention too a little bit more about B12 specifically, because I noticed online that there's a lot of incorrect information about this. Nutritional yeast does not contain B12. So let's get that really clear up front. Nutritional yeast does not contain B12. Well, why? Why not? Because B12 is found in animal sources and yeast is not an animal source. However, going back to what we just said, most of the yeast today is sold as fortified, meaning that something has been added to it. And so if you look at it, B12 and other vitamins like Isabel and minerals that Isabel was mentioning, folic acid or B9, these are added into, especially because they're often lacking in vegan and vegetarian diets. So you want to make sure they're in the yeast, but you want B12 to be fortified or added to that, because it helps the other B vitamins in nutritional yeast convert food to energy. And then this is the process your body uses or maintains a healthy metabolism and consistent energy levels. So again, you can use it to mimic cheese, butter, add it on your veggies. There are lots of ways, Gail, right, to incorporate as we were going to talk about, just like the horse diet. So let's talk about in our diet, how to do it.
Exactly. And from a young age, I love Parmesan cheese added to everything. As in a Swiss Italian background that I have, we used to always put it in our vegetable soups or on our anything, you know, your lasagna, your pastas, your pizzas, all of that. And it can be used in mashed cauliflower when you're using cauliflower to replace your mashed potatoes for some of our bariatric patients, because it's a little less calorie. You can try it though, anything where you want that umami taste. Okay. So anything. I've tried it lately. It's great.
So you might put it over popcorn, you might put it in salad, you know, over like kale chips or some kind of roasted vegetables, like roasted broccoli, something like that. If you're making soup, I find it really adds some depth of flavor to a sauce or to a broth. I've used it some and I'm really surprised at how much depth and flavor that definitely that very savory flavor. Mm-hmm. And you might try it with a vinaigrette or some other kind of salad dressing, like Caesar salad dressing, or maybe a ranch dip it that you would use to dip raw veggies like cucumber, spears, or baby carrots in.
I think would be good to like a black bean soup or lentil stews, things like that, or a roasted broccoli or sweet potato wedges, even mac and cheese. How you like your flavor as an addition into those things, right? It just adds a little bit more body to a broth when you have that going. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk about those medical issues that you might have where using nutritional yeast is not a good idea. So stay right where you are.
Bariatric Surgery Success is thrilled to partner with New Hope Girls, women empowering women. They offer a discount to our community. Code Transform to save 15% and celebrate our shared commitment to transformation. Shop their beautiful bags at newhopegirls.com.
As you can hear, nutritional yeast can be both beneficial and it's bariatric friendly after surgery. But I want to switch gears a minute and talk about situations where nutritional yeast might not be smart to use. So, Gail, start us out.
Yeah, nutritional yeast is considered safe for most people. It may cause issues if you are sensitive to yeast products. If you deal with yeast or mold allergies especially, you probably don't want to consume yeast. Nutritional yeast could worsen symptoms, especially in something like Crohn's disease or celiac disease. So again, very important to have those discussions with your healthcare provider. And I would definitely recommend doing that before you try it.
Yeah.
This can also...
Do you think if you have a bariatric dietitian on your team, which we always hope that you do, I think this is a very smart point to make when they're teaching you about what you should be eating and things after your surgery to say, listen, I have Crohn's or I have celiac or I have an allergy to mold, you know, some kind of mold. Mm-hmm. I think those things are critical in your success to know that, to let him or her know that.
Yeah, and I have had patients with Crohn's disease and celiac disease. I'm sure you have too, Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it would be recommended if you did try it after talking to your practitioner to try just a few teaspoons or a teaspoon and then monitor it, and you can gradually increase it to a tablespoon. And you need to know also that high levels of uric acid are in there, which is a precursor to purine, which means that if you have had kidney stones, yes, I have, or gout, you may not want to include nutritional yeast either.
Yeah, and precursor just means that if you have a high level of uric acid, the more you have, that precursor means that's there before it becomes a purine. So it kind of turns into, or it's in the metabolic pathway that becomes purine. So if you're thinking, what does precursor mean? It just means it's part of that pathway that ends up being a purine that can cause problems.
Yeah, huh. All the ingredients are there for kidney stones.
Yeah.
I have no fun.
Which we don't want. Okay.
Well, another thing to think about is migraines. Yeast products contain tyramine, which is an amino acid that helps regulate blood pressure. But foods that are high in tyramine can trigger migraines if you're susceptible to that. So foods that are high in tyramine typically include aged or fermented foods like pickles, like aged cheeses. So talk to your prescriber, whoever manages your migraines, to see if those types of things might be something you need to avoid. Another thing to talk to a prescribing provider about is if you're taking any medications for depression. Tyramine could be a problem for MAOI medications. These are monoamine oxidase inhibitors. And those particular types of medications may interfere with the tyramine, may interfere with the use of those or the application of those. Another thing to think about is fiber. Now, normally I'd say fiber is a great thing, right? We said 4 grams of fiber in a 2 tablespoon serving. And particularly this type of fiber is beta-glucan, which is similar to what's in oatmeal, known for its heart health and lower cholesterol. That's a good thing. Except when too much of a good thing is too much, because adding too much fiber too fast can certainly give you some digestive distress, let's just put that mildly, and make you uncomfortable. So easing it up gradually when you want to go on a higher fiber diet, and making sure you're drinking plenty of fluids to help move that fiber along in your digestive system.
Yeah, we don't want any concrete blocks where you text me and go, I am constipated and I'm a visual. So when she says add fiber slowly, add it slowly, and add a lot of fluid at the same time to keep that bulky stool moving on. And so as we move on, and we are here and about to wrap up, any last thoughts? Have we anything we haven't mentioned or that you thought about that we want to make sure we cover?
Well, one thing I've noticed is that your listeners for this podcast, the people in your Facebook group, definitely, at least in my opinion, see it as a safe zone, that they, where they can ask questions, try to look for accurate information. And I just say kudos, because keep asking the questions, looking to verify the information you hear.
Thank you. And absolutely. You guys know my Facebook group, it's private and it's a place for you to come and vent and talk and ask questions. And it always has been. And that's what this podcast is for. So if you have questions, concerns, things you just don't understand, you know, you can ask me. And if it's a topic we can cover, we will do that. So how do you ask me? If you just go to the website, breakingdownnutrition.com. Right on the homepage, up in the, I think it's right-hand corner, there's a contact us. Just click on that and send me a note. If you get the newsletter every week, then just hit reply and that will come right back into the office and send me a message that way. Either way works, because listen, we're here to meet your needs. You know, we're here to spend time to give you what you need so that you're successful. Gail, anything else you want to add?
Just go low and start low and slow, low volume and go slowly and don't be afraid. But yes, I'm so happy that you give us all these new things to look at, research, and help all of you with the best we can with the knowledge that's out there.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you guys so much. And just remember what they said, nutritional yeast, bariatric friendly, can be a nice way to add some protein to the diet. Do it slowly because of its fiber content. Make sure you add those fluids. But if you have anything like migraines, celiac disease, if you're allergic to yeast or molds, then this is something you want to bring up to your bariatric dietitian or your primary care and say, okay, I want to add this, but is this a good idea for me or not? Because remember, you are worth it.
Bariatric Surgery Success with Dietitian Dr. Susan Mitchell is produced and owned by Practicalories LLC. All rights reserved. Remember, the content provided on this podcast is for information purposes only and doesn't create a patient-provider relationship. It's intended to provide reference material and is not designed to provide medical advice. Please consult your healthcare provider regarding any medical issues you have relating to symptoms, conditions, diseases, diagnosis, treatments, and side effects. Podcast guests express their own opinions, experience, and conclusions, which do not necessarily reflect or agree with the host, Dr. Susan Mitchell, or Practicalories LLC.